Welcome to All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, director of Lincoln City Libraries. I chose the book, The Unseen World, by Liz Moore, because of its inclusion in the fiction portion of this year's American Library Association Notable Books list. And it exemplifies something I love about reading this annual list. It's a book I hadn't heard much about, and I ended up enjoying it immensely. It's the story of Ada Sibelius, who was 12 at the time the story opens in the 1980s or so. She's homeschooled by her dad, a brilliant computer scientist who takes her to work with him in the computer lab most days. Ada learns computer language starting in infancy, and early on she understands the concepts being discussed there. Ada and her dad comprise their entire family. She was born by a surrogate. The novel begins when Ada begins to realize that something is wrong with her dad. Eventually, it becomes clear that this man of remarkable intelligence is showing symptoms of early onset Alzheimer's. With no extended family, Ada is taken in by one of her father's colleagues, a woman called by her last name, Lister. As Lister works through the process of becoming Ada's guardian legally, it becomes clear that her father isn't who he said he was. The novel moves around in time and place. Early on, here is Ada's description of her father. This was what Ada pictured when she thought of her father, the vision of David that she harbored and kept safe throughout her life, the idea pinned permanently to the sleepiest part of her brain. It was her father in his laboratory, or at Tran's restaurant, or in the library of the institute that employed him, or, rarely, in a crowd of friends, or, regularly, at his desk, in his small, absurd office in their home, contemplating a chessboard, his head as bald and round and sturdy as a pawn's, his woolen socks with holes in them, his hands the steeple of a church. He was tall and thin and rigorous in his studies and in his life, and he was inventive, and he was very warm and betrayed no one ever. And in Ada's mind, he was ethical beyond compare, and he had a habit of running his hands together quickly when he was delighted or moved, and he was quick and spry and gentle, and able with his limbs and head. He was dexterous, and his fingernails were clean, and he was wise, and he was intent upon seeking out the best and most beautiful version of pieces by Chopin, Schubert, and Bach, and he knew excellent riddles, and his name was Dr. David Sibelius, and she never called him anything but David. Ada experiences some rough patches, adjusting to life in a family and to going to school, in this case, Catholic middle school, in her Boston neighborhood. Lister's home provides a clear contrast to the way David ran his household with Ada. Although she sometimes seems to lack attention to her own children and to Ada, Lister is caring and perceptive and creates a home for Ada. During that transitional time, Ada takes comfort in talking with a computer program called Elixir, an early program to teach computers how to develop the artificial intelligence of creating and sustaining conversation. Talking with Elixir or typing exchanges into the program becomes a kind of therapy through journaling. It helps her navigate the transition as her dad moves further and further from her as his Alzheimer's progresses. In a section later in the book, we have David's early reflection on being a father. Ada grew. She was a delight, even in the low and lonely hours of the night when it was only the two of them, even as he waged a solitary war against first colic and then night terrors and then briefly bedwetting. He was happier, more content than he had ever been. He contemplated her, her hands, her face. Did she look like him? As she grew, the two of them would hear frequently that she did. He felt called to some greater purpose. He felt a kind of familial love he had not felt since his sister had died. He imagined Ada, sometimes as his sister, in the delirium of another 3 a.m. wake-up, the baby mewling. He imagined that it was his sister Susan he was cradling, that it was Susan he was giving a better life, another chance. As the story shifts to Ada's adulthood, questions about her father's identity remain. Author Liz Moore provides some sections that happened before Ada's birth that explain who David Sibelius was before he took on that identity. Ada eventually makes her living in artificial intelligence development, never forgetting those open questions about David, sometimes considering and considering again where he might have left her information to explain himself. Here is Ada later in life, thinking of her father. She still had dreams about him, regularly, once a week or more, and in them he appeared to her as the face of all the benevolence in the universe, a kind and somehow holy presence that blessed and pacified her, that eased her worry, that calmed her. She woke up from these dreams consoled, but any warm feelings she had were quickly replaced with suspicion, with the unsettling sensation of being lied to again and again, even by her own recollections. Eventually, she falls in love with one of Lister's sons, and it is he who has the brilliant insight about where David might have used code to light the trail to his identity. Other reviewers have noted that this novel seems a little like several novels patched together. One about a tight little family pulled apart by Alzheimer's, another about computers and artificial intelligence, another about a girl transitioning to school as an adolescent, or a story of an assumed identity and the secrets it requires, and finally another about a mature woman making peace with her childhood. In interviews, Liz Moore has described how her writing process sometimes does lead to a few separate stories that end up growing together. I was intrigued by her observation that she doesn't write with particular themes in mind, but as she progresses through revisions and sees the themes that are revealing themselves, she'll take opportunities to bring them to the fore. As I noted when reviewing the book Christadora by Tim Murphy, I'm a sucker for novels where much of the story arc revolves around a person who goes through a period of questioning and isolation, only to return later with a new appreciation for the people who loved him or her, often based on learning what wasn't known before. The device of moving the narrator among decades allows this author to reveal information to the reader long before it is revealed to the characters. I had procrastinated reading this novel because I was put off by the potential for something that came across as too science fiction-ish, with apologies to fans of that genre. Had I known early on that Elixir, the artificial intelligence program itself, would be given a direct voice in this book, I might have waited even longer. I now regret feeling that way. The author reasonably highlights aspects of artificial intelligence both to contrast with and highlight some similarities with how people interact with each other. And here is Ada later reflecting on virtual reality. Virtual reality, she thought, was the unseen world, or had the capacity to be. In fact, it could be said that all computer systems were such. Universes that operated outside the realm of human experiences, planets that spun continuously in some unseeable alternate stratosphere, present but undiscovered. This is an excellent book group choice, with its emphasis on character and plot. Certainly, there is contemporary timeliness to its questions of how we are changed by technology and how people will change technology. Those combined with the timeless themes of father-child relationships, grief, and alienation provide plenty of fodder for discussion. I found my mind returning to the unseen world long after I read the last page. The book is The Unseen World by Liz Moore. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online. Visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.